Thank you for listening today to our podcast here at Word of Life. We're delighted that you tuned in, and I pray that while you hear us talk, you hear the Holy Spirit speak. I know God's got a big plan for you. We're excited to be a part of that plan. Hopefully, we will see you sometime soon, maybe even this weekend. Until then, we pray you have a wonderful, wonderful week. Amen. Let's open up our Bibles this morning to the book of Genesis. We're going to look at Genesis chapter 3. And verse number 6, Genesis chapter 3, and verse number 6. About 8 years ago, me and my wife and our kids decided to take a little family vacation after Christmas. And we were looking around at different places, and we found a particular rental property that looked like it was a good thing. And it was kind of a bigger property, and so we decided to kind of split it up with her sisters. And so her sisters are going to fly in and drive in from various parts of the nation to come and kind of vacation with us after Christmas. And I had high expectations for the vacation in the fact of, I thought, you know, the kids can play with each other. My wife will be with her sisters, and it'll kind of give me some time to pray about the coming new year and all of those things. But it wasn't just a good thing. It was an amazing thing. Like, we did all of that and more. It was so life-giving, so refreshing, so much fun, so many laughs, so many good times that we just determined we've got to do this like every year. It was so much fun. We've got to do it again. And so with that, we put it on the schedule for the next Christmas. After it, we'd do the same thing. We'd all find a property. We all go in together and we'd take this vacation. So the next year rolls around, and on Christmas Day, I'm watching my wife and my kids open up presents, but I can't get into it. And the reason why I can't get into it is I'm just not feeling good. Like, I can tell something in my body, it's just not right, and I'm not okay, like, I'm not right. And as the day progressed, I got sicker and sicker. And make a long story short, or I guess it won't make it short, to avoid you unnecessary details that will gross you out, I will just say I had food poisoning, or I thought I had food poisoning. I thought I must have eaten something that just, you know, didn't agree with me, and it continued the whole day, but thankfully it was only like a 24-hour thing. So I wake up the next morning, and it's time to go down to Florida, and we're going to meet her sisters there at the property. And we're driving down, and I'm still not 100%, but I'm okay. And my wife's like, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, I must have just eaten something bad, you know, that kind of thing. So we get there, and we're the first ones there. And when we get out of the car, my wife looks at me, and she says, you know, I don't feel so good. I'm like, okay, you know, like, you okay? Like, Christmas? I know, it's kind of be stressful, and, you know, different things. Maybe you just need to rest. Like, maybe you just kind of take a nap, you know, kind of cool off. It'll be a minute before some of the other family gets here. Just rest. I'll take care of the kids. I'll unload the car. You just go get in bed and just kind of rest. Sleep it off, you know, those kinds of things. She said, okay, just wake me up when my sister gets here. I'm like, okay, sure enough. So she gets in bed, and it falls asleep, and her sister gets there. She's come all the way from California. So I go upstairs, and I tell my wife, I'm like, look, it's time, like, your sister is here. And she looks at me, and she just looks green. She just looks green when I wake her up. And she puts her feet, she rolls them kind of at the corner of the bed, and she's about to get out. And apparently, as soon as she kind of got upright, whatever was on me the night before came out of her in that moment. I'm like, oh my gosh, like, this is terrible. I'm like, no. And it was too late. The kids are trying to come in the room. I'm like, don't come in here. And it is for an entirely different reason than why I'm normally telling them that. And with this, I'm like, don't you do it. Don't you do it. And like, I'm okay, I'll clean it up. I'm like, okay, oh God, give me help. Give me grace. Give me mercy in this moment. So like, I'm kind of cleaning it up. I'm like, oh man, maybe we both ate the same thing. And I'm looking at my wife. I'm like, what did you eat? What did I eat? And we're trying to figure it out. We're like, oh, this is bad. And come to find out, apparently it was not food poisoning. It was like a stomach flu or something along that line. And it was highly contagious. I mean, it was the most contagious thing I have ever seen in my life. Person after person, it spread to every single person in that family. Like, you go to sleep and you could hear people running in the hall, like literally running in the hall trying to get to the bathroom. Like, the kids were carrying around sand buckets, but it wasn't because they were filling them with sand. Like, it was, I'm serious, it was bad. So like, we'd wait down there in the morning. It's like, okay, who doesn't come down the steps today? And like, people would start trickling down, and it's like, it's 10 o'clock and like, someone hadn't come down. It's like, oh, it got Lee last
last night. It took Lee out. It just took her out. So finally, like, my two-year-old was the only one who had not gotten sick. And so it's like, we need to quarantine them. And I don't, it was a stupid parenting decision. You know, when you're young, you just make them. And with this, it's like, we need to quarantine them. So I'm like, let's put them in the closet. There was a big kind of like walk-in closet. I'm like, he can play in there. We'll put an iPad in there. He'll sleep in there. Like, that will be his room. But the last thing we need is a two-year-old getting this stuff. And so with it, we put him in the closet. Sure enough, middle of the night, we just hear it all over the walls. Like, we, and we, oh, it's like, oh gosh, no, Jesus, help, help. And so, like, literally, we didn't get our security deposit back. I'll just say it that way. It's like, after that trip, it's like, not only will I never own a rental property, but I will never take this vacation again. Like, ever, ever, ever. Completely miserable. Now, here's my point. On one hand, we designed something to be good, and it was not just good. It was absolutely fantastic. And then we try to recreate this, and on paper it looks like this is going to be absolutely fantastic. And it was an absolute, utter train wreck. Now, here is something very interesting to me. In all of our lives, we make decisions. And you hear it all the time. It's kind of cliche, but it's the truth, is that your decisions determine your destiny. Your decisions determine your destiny. You make better decisions, you live a better life. You make bad decisions, it leads to a bad life. Your decisions determine your destiny. The issue is, though, is that most of us will look at something that looks good, and how many times do we get in it, and it was bad? Like, we get in a relationship, and on paper, it looks like it's supposed to be good, but then we got harmed out of that relationship. We looked at this person, it seemed like it should be a good friendship, but we got hurt out of that friendship. We signed up for this financial deal, and it's like, on paper, man, it looked like it would be amazing. And then we get in it, and we lost all this money. It looked good, but it was actually bad. One of the things that the Bible instructs us is that we have an enemy. We have someone in our life who's trying to ruin it, destroy it, hurt, steal, kill, destroy. And it says that with this enemy, you are not to be ignorant of his devices, of how he works in your life. And one of the things you need to know about the enemy is he is subtle, he is crafty, and he hides. If you think you see him, you probably do not. If you think there he is, it's probably not him. He's not like the world would make you believe, with like pointy ears and a pitchfork and, you know, some type of tail with an arrow at the end of it. No. He disguises himself as an angel of light. He never comes out and is like, okay, come over here and I am going to wreck your life. He comes to Jesus and he tempts him, and watch how he tempts him. Jesus, I know what you want. You bow down, worship me, and I'll give you everything you ever want. I'll give you the world, its kingdoms, and all the glory thereof. This is how he works. Jesus is talking to Peter, and he's telling Peter, I've got to go to the cross. I've got to go and die for the world's sins. And Peter's hearing this, and he's very emotional, and this is disturbing to him. You ever had a conversation like that, where conversation got emotional, and people begin to talk out of that emotion? Peter begins to talk out of his emotion. He's like, No, Lord. You do not need to go to the cross. He actually tells him, be it far from you, Lord. And Jesus looks at Peter, and he realizes, I'm not just talking to Peter here. There's something at the heart of this conversation that is trying to get my life off course. And he tells Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, for you savorest not the things that be of God, but instead you savor the things that be of men. Peter didn't even realize it, but in that moment he was being used by the enemy to try to take Jesus' life off course. I wonder how many conversations we have had where that exact same thing happened, but we never picked it up. Because here is how the enemy works. He doesn't show us, here's bad, here's good, please pick the bad. He doesn't show us, like, here's a terrible relationship, here's a great one, come over here to the terrible. No. He always masks the dangerous as good. Did you know something can be good and not be God? Do you know that there can be something that looks good to you, but it's not godly? It's not God's plan for you. It's a good idea, but it's not a God idea. In the Garden of Eden, we see Satan first come on the scene, and it's when God has showed Adam and Eve all of these trees, and he's like, look, they are all amazing, and you can eat of each one as much as you want. Like, I want you to have the time of your life. But he said, come over here and let me show you something. He said, do you see this tree right there? They said, yes, Lord, we see the tree. He said, I'm telling you, it's dangerous. Don't touch it. Don't come near of it. Don't eat of it. Don't go over there. That tree, it is bad for you. Like, okay, God, we got it. Satan comes on the scene, and the first word used to describe him is subtle. It means he hides, he's crafty. They don't know it's him. And he comes up to Adam and Eve, and he shows them the tree. And when they see the tree, watch what happens when they look at it. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 6. And when the woman saw the tree, that it was good for food, and that it was, notice the words, pleasant, was good, was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, so it's to be desired, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and also gave unto her husband, and he did eat. She's looking at this tree, and everything about the tree says it's good. Everything about the tree says it's to be desired. Everything about, this is important, everything about her five physical senses tells her this is a good idea. It smells good, it tastes good, it looks good, it feels good. This must be good because everything about it says it's good. But it wasn't. Do you know in Proverbs, it says this in the book of Proverbs, chapter 14, they'll put it up on the screens. In the book of Proverbs, they'll put it up on the screens. Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 10. That's not the one I need. There's a way that seems right unto man, but the end therein is destruction. Yes, Proverbs 14 and 12. There is a way which seems right unto a man, but the end therein are the ways of death. Now notice that. It looks good to you, but the end is bad. It seems everything about it seems right, but the end is bad. That's what this was. Everything about it looked good, but the end therein was bad. And somebody asked, well, Pastor, how could you know? Like, how could you know that relationship would be bad? Does anyone know the future? Like, how could I know, Pastor Joel, if I took that job, it'd be bad? Like, does anybody know the future? Like, how could I know, Pastor Joel, if I date him, it's going to be bad for me? Like, does anybody really know? Well, your mama did. I'm kidding. But no, does anybody really know? Like, honestly, does anybody really know? I mean, who could tell if something is actually good or bad? Let me ask you this. How did they know? How did Adam and Eve know this tree is not good? God told them. How did they know? It looked good, but God said, no, it's bad. It looks like it's to be desired though, God. I know, but it's bad. God knew. God knew the tree had consequences. God knows the future better than you know the past. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He declares the end at the beginning. In your Bible, you have the past in Genesis, but you also have the future in Revelations. God knows the future. He sees better than you see. He sees higher than you see. His thoughts are not your thoughts. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, the Bible says, so his thoughts are higher than yours. God's got a plan for each and every one of us. We said this a couple of weeks ago. We said, your job, it is not to create the life that you want. It's not, I put it this way. Your job is not to create a good life. It's like I said, we come to our kids, and I say this sometimes. You know what I mean. I think we all know what we mean. But it's like, you can be anything you want to be. That's a lie. It's a lie. Your job and my job is not to create a good life for our families. Your job and my job is to discover a life he already created for us. He's called us. He's called us to places. He's called us to people. He has plans for us. He has, according to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, a race that is set before you. A set race. It's not a race that shifts. It's a set race. It's not a race that you pick. It's a set race. He has set it before you. And friend, I'm telling you, if we are going to walk out those good plans, see, people use scriptures like, well, all things work together for the good. They take that scripture and it's like, well, this thing, all things work together for the good. And it's like, no. Finish the verse. All things work together for the good for those who love God and are what? Called according to what? His purpose. So in his purpose and in his plan, all things work together for the good. And somebody said, well, Pastor Joel, how could you ever know if it was his plan? How do you, like, for them, like, God's walking with them in the cool of the day, and he's talking to them, and he's telling them this is bad. But it's like, for me, like, how do you know? How do you know if this is God, and how do you know if it's just me? Like, how do I know if this is God, or how do I know if I just ate bad pizza? Like, what, how would anyone know? It's a great question. It's a great question. I had a conversation with an individual about 3 weeks ago. And it was a counseling appointment, but honestly, I was getting ministered to as much as hopefully they were. Like, it was one of those times where it was just a God conversation, and God was speaking to me. And they made this statement that there was someone in their life who called them up and said, look, like, I kind of see in my life that over the past 5 years or so, every decision that I have made has been born out of the flesh. And basically what that means is, it's like, I made this decision because it felt good to me. I made this decision because I wanted it. I got in this relationship because I wanted it. I drank that because my body wanted it. And every decision I'm making it because this is what my flesh wants. And he said, over the past 5 years, I have seen that making decisions that way has caused me nothing but sorrow, nothing but pain, has disappointed me, and honestly, everyone who loves me. And he said, I see it and I'm tired of it. I don't want any longer to make decisions born out of the flesh. I want to make decisions born out of the Spirit of God. I want to make decisions that are God-breathed. I want to make decisions that are God-spoken. I want to make decisions that God is leading and guiding me in. And when she was conveying this information to me, man, it blessed me so much. My heart got so big, and it's like, I want that too. I want it for me, and I want it for you, that our lives are God-breathed. Our lives are God-inspired, and the way that we are making these decisions, we're making them because God is showing us the way to life. Somebody said, well, how would we ever get there? I think it's important that if you're going to do this, that you understand what it means to hear from God and to be able to discern the difference between you and the Lord. So I want to show you something today that I think will help you. It's found in the book of Hebrews. They'll put it up on the screen. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse number 14. This is Paul writing. He says, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of a full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. He says you can get to a place where you have senses that can discern or pick up the difference between what is good and what is evil. But notice how you get these senses. You have to exercise them and you have to use them. Now, the senses that he's talking about are not your physical senses. Now, you know that we have physical senses, sight, sound, touch, taste, smell. We have these physical senses. And so how many of you have ever, like, had something and it's like you smell it before you eat it? My youngest son, he's 5 years old. He smells everything before he eats it. Everything. It's funny and it's cute, but sometimes it can be annoying and slightly embarrassing. I mean, like, someone hands him like a piece of candy. It's like a Jolly Rancher. It's like, you know, they're being nice and he doesn't trust them. So he'll take it out of the pack and he'll smell it. And after he smells it, then he'll eat it. So like, you could hand him 5 pieces of candy and after every piece, he's going to still smell the next piece to see, is this a good piece? Like, should I consume this or not? Why? Because sometimes our sense of smell can pick up on something, and no one had to tell us it was bad. You just smelt it. It's like, I'm not eating that. Sometimes you tasted something and you didn't hear anyone say, don't eat that. Don't eat that. Like you tasted it. And as soon as you tasted it, it's like, what did they do to this? Like, they shouldn't have. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. It's like, well, no. They, no mercy. And no one even had to tell you. You just tasted it. See, sometimes our physical senses can pick us up or pick up danger. It can discern what's good and what's bad. But the senses that he is talking about here, it's not physical senses. He's talking about spiritual senses. Did you know you have spiritual senses just like you have physical ones? I'll show you some examples in scripture. They're all throughout there if you pay attention to them. Notice in Psalms 34 and verse 8, taste and see that the Lord is good. He's not talking about physically tasting. He's not talking about physically seeing. He's talking about spiritual sight, spiritual taste. Jesus, when he was talking to the Pharisees, he said, you guys, you know what you are? He said, you are blind leading the blind. They weren't physically blind. They were spiritually blind. They couldn't see that the Messiah was standing right in front of them, blind spiritually. Notice Matthew chapter 11, verse 15. Anyone who has ears to hear, let him hear. Everyone there had physical ears. Everyone there was physically listening. He's not talking about physical ears. He's saying, I'm speaking, but you're not hearing. You're hearing it physically, but it's not getting in your heart. If you had ears to hear, you would hear. It's a spiritual sound, not a physical one. Psalms 105 and verse 15 says, touch not my anointed. He's not talking about don't touch a man or a woman of God physically. He's saying, no. Don't be harmful with them. Don't handle them, if you will, spiritually, roughly. Don't gossip about them. Don't hurt them or cut them with your words. Don't touch spiritually. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 18, he's talking to the church at Philippi for their giving. And he says, I am full having the things sent by you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice well-pleasing to the Lord. I like that, a sweet smell. He's not talking about a natural fragrance. It's a spiritual one. So you combine all these together. You see spiritually, next screen, spiritually you have taste, you have sight, you have spiritual hearing, you have touch, you have smell. Now, using our physical example, there are some things no one had to tell you it was bad. You tasted it and found out it was bad. No one had to tell you it was bad. You smelt it. And it's like, woo, no, that's bad. No one had to tell you it was bad. You saw it. And like, no one had to tell you it was bad fashion. You didn't have to have one of these fashion editors tell you it was bad fashion. It's like, you could look at it. You just saw it. And it's like, I didn't have to hear it. That's not in, that never was in style. Forget it going out of style. That never even existed in the world of style. Like, style is here. That's in a different zip code. It's like, and no one had to tell you. You just saw it. Now, here's what I'm getting at. When it comes to God, we get so focused on here that we forget all the other senses. So when people think, I'm hearing from God, it's like, what, am I supposed to hear a voice? Like is it like, thus saith the Lord, and the heaven shakes, and the car shakes? It's like, sometimes that could happen. But you know, oftentimes, it's like something's not right. And I'm not necessarily like hearing a voice, it's just, I can tell something's not right. In the book of Acts, Paul was getting on this boat by force. He was a prisoner. And while he's walking to the boat, the Bible says he perceived in his heart that if they got on this boat, it could cost them their lives. And so he looks at the sailor and he tells the sailor, he's like, look, I don't know where you're at with these kinds of things. But he said, I perceive if we get on this boat, it's going to cost us our life and it's going to cost us the ship. You know what the guy does? This is interesting. Which way do you live? You know what the guy does? The sailor who Paul's talking to, he looks out with his physical eyes. And he looks at the seas and he's like, no, I think we're good. He looks at the boat and he's like, nope, boat's in good shape. He puts his hand up and he touches the wind, you know, kind of, yeah, which way's the wind? He's like, nah, I think we're good. Like, the wind is good, the sea, good, boat, good. And Paul's like, nah, I think it's bad. Someone says, why? I just perceive. Did you hear a voice, Paul? No. Did God tell you? No. I just know something. Something's not right. What is that? Spiritual sense. Spiritual sense. I give you an example. My son is in soccer. That's where I was last week. My wife did Mother's Day for me. She knocked it out of the park. I'm so proud of Spectacular Miss Peppy, and celebrate all the moms who are here. I was at a soccer tournament with my son and in Tupelo. And anyway, having a great time there. And we're learning about competitive soccer. It's a big world. It's like, I had no idea like how deep it gets. And anyway, so there's this team that he could sign up for that is like incredibly competitive, kind of like the next level. And I'm learning more about it. And the more I'm learning about it, the more I'm liking it. And the more I hear about it, the more I'm liking it. And I know some people who are getting involved in it, and I really like them. And it's like, I know my son kind of knows their kids, and it looks all good. And so I've made up my mind. This is the direction we're going. And so I come home to my wife, and I come home to my son, and I'm talking them into it. Like, I'm very emotional about it, because everything that I look at and everything, so my wife is, like, hesitant, and she's like, you know, and she's giving me some different facts, and I'm steadily, like, striking down those facts, and I'm like, I know, but here's why it counts. It's like, it's this, and they got three coaches instead of one. It's the most competitive league, and my son's like, I don't have any friends. I'm like, no, you have friends there. Like, they're going to be in it, and they're going to be in it, and they're going to be in it. I'm like, son, not only that, I have friends there. Like, I have people I can sit on the sidelines with. Like, it's good. Good for us. Trust me, it's good for us. And so I finally talk them into it. So I'm filling out the forms. And as I'm filling out the forms, I have to sign it, and I can't sign it. It's like, Jay, nope, can't, nah. Just Jay, oh, no, can't sign it. I'm looking at him like, maybe I'm missing something. Jay, nope. So I put the pen down, and get this. I did something wise. You know what I did? I prayed. Who knew? And I'm there and I'm like, okay, God, like something's not right. Like I'm in with all my senses, it's like this trip should be a good trip. Sailor looking at it. Nah, it looks good. But all my senses says, but on the inside, a different sense. A spiritual, nope. So I pray and I'm like, God, you know, what is this? It's like over here. And in my heart, I just knew that there's some people over in this area and this other thing that's completely different that I did not see with my natural eyes. And it's like, your wife is really supposed to minister to them. And if they're over here, she can't. So I need him here, there, so she can do that. I'm like, oh. So I go to my wife and I tell her, I'm like, you know all that stuff I told you? Forget that. Like, no, we're not even going that direction. She's like, why? And I tell her, she's like, I told you the exact same thing. I'm like, I know. Look, between you and the Holy Spirit, trust me, I'm a work in progress. We will figure this out. Just be patient with me. So like, anyway, what's my point? A different sense. See, some of you've heard from God far more than you know you have. The book of Luke, Jesus rose again from the grave. They go to his tomb. They're like, the tomb is empty. They get distraught. A man comes up and is talking to them, walks with them for miles, goes into their house, sits down. They're talking to him, sharing life with him. He prays for the food. They look up and realize the whole time they've been talking to Jesus. Didn't even know it. Some of you have been walking with God for years and didn't even know it. You were making decisions, calling it yourself, and it's just, I don't know, I don't feel right. That was God. I don't know, I can't. That was God. I just have people, oh, that was God. How many of you are thankful for the help of the Holy Spirit? Like in all of our lives, like my word, he helps us. But we have to make room for him. We have to make room for him. In the Old Testament, I'll close with this. By close, I mean I have 8 more minutes. in the Old Testament, there's a story of Abraham and Sarah. And they've got so much right in their life, but there's one thing that's just not. And most of our lives is that way, isn't it? That you have some people, it's like, I'm good financially. I'm good in my health, but golly, my family right now. You have someone else, it's like, my family is awesome. My health, woo! My job, it's a dud. Like, I need a new one. And for Abraham and Sarah, it's like, my marriage, awesome. It's good. Finances, good place. But we don't have kids, man. And that is what we want. We want some children. And so for years, they ask God. And for years, God talks to them about a child. But they're frustrated because it's not happening fast enough. Now, you've never gotten frustrated. But Abraham and Sarah were frustrated. Incredibly emotional. And they're about to make a decision. That's always a wrong time. Like, you want to miss God, just get really emotional and stay right there. And so Abraham and Sarah, they're frustrated, man. It's taken way too long. They're upset. And so Sarah has thought about it and 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 thought about it. And she's worried and she's scared and she's thinking about it and she's thinking about it and she's thinking about it. And finally, she comes up with this idea that on paper to her seems good. And she comes to Abraham and she's like, here, look, let's just be honest. God has blessed us with a whole bunch of stuff. And if we don't have an heir who can take on this after us, who are we going to leave it to? We have got, God's blessed us too much for us to leave it to a stranger. Like, we've got to leave it to someone. And it just looks like in my life, it's not going to happen. So here's my idea, Abraham. I've got a maid over here. She's been good to us. You know her. She's served around the house. You know her. And she's younger than I am. And why don't you just sleep with her? And we'll have a child and we can leave it to them. Now, every one of you in this room know, right? This is a bad idea, right? Like, it doesn't even take, like, any knowledge, any wisdom to figure out, like, this is bad. Like, no, in no sense of the word is it. But to her, it makes sense. To her, it's an emotional decision. And to her, it makes sense. Looks good. She tells Abraham. And you know what Abraham does? He doesn't even argue with her. He doesn't even debate it. He doesn't say, like, no, honey. Like, no. You know what he does? He's like, okay. Like, I told Pap in between services, the 10, 11, 30 service, I said, if that would have been me and you'd have told me that, and I wouldn't have debated that with you, it would have been, the next service would have been, and then Pep killed him. Like, it would have been, like, and then he died. You don't agree that quick, Abraham. Like, come on, man. Then he was strangled. He woke up dead in his sleep because a pillow over his face. Like, it's like, no, of course not. Abraham, no, man, no. So with this, he agrees to it. And he goes and he sleeps with his maidservant. And she gets pregnant, sure enough. And gives birth to an Ishmael. It was born out of emotion. It was born out of a conversation between two people. It was born out of two people trying to make a good decision. But there was no prayer over it. There was no worship found in it. It's filled with worry. It was filled with anxiety, and they gave birth to an Ishmael. This is a spiritual principle, that Ishmael did nothing but frustrate that house. That Ishmael did nothing but cause pain in that house. What they thought would be a good thing turned into a thing that almost divided that home because it was born out of the flesh. Isaac was a child that was born out of the spirit. It was born in patience. Was born out of prayer. It was born out of worship. It was born out of praise. And friend, I'm telling you, I think in our own lives, we are missing hearing from God because we're too busy talking to ourselves and talking to everyone else about our decisions. I heard this story. I really will have to close with this one. I only got 3 minutes left. There was this guy, he was an opera singer. And, you know, I'm not a big opera guy, but, you know, I can respect the field. And anyway, this guy was like world class, huge chops, huge voice. The problem was, is he came to a place where he couldn't recognize whether or not he was hitting notes or not. So he sounded off constantly, especially when he got to the real high notes. He was off. So he went to a doctor to figure out what this was. And so the doctor tested his voice, and the doctor figured out that this guy had some of the loudest pipes, if you will, that he had ever heard. He tested them and found out that the opera singer, a meter in front of his face, could produce 140 decibels of sound with his voice alone. Amazing. Now, I didn't know how much that was, so I looked at it. 140 decibels of sound is the equivalent to a jet aircraft taking off of an aircraft carrier. Think of that type of noise. So a jackhammer is 100 decibels. So loud. A meter out in front of his face. 140 decibels of sound. And as soon as this guy, this doctor, saw this, he realized the sound of his own voice had deafened his hearing. So he couldn't hear whether he was hitting the notes or not. I wonder how many Christians, their own voice has damaged their hearing because God is not in the fire. His voice is not in the flood or the earthquake. It is in the whisper where God's voice is heard. And friend, if we are going to walk with God, we've got to pull away in prayer. We've got to pull away in peace. We've got to pull away from rush. We have to walk with him in worship. And in that place, we discover God's voice and the sound of silence. And I want to encourage you, live life that way. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for each and every person that is in this room. They have been so much fun to preach to. And Father, I thank you that in all of our lives, you help us walk with you, know you, trust you, rely on you. With every head bowed, every eye closed. Maybe you're in this place, and over the past couple of weeks, months, maybe years, maybe even decades, you've been doing a whole lot of sowing towards the flesh. And it's hurting you. And it's caused pain and frustration and maybe even division in a family. Division in your own life. And you say, I want to repent. What repent means is just, I want to change my directions. I don't want to go the direction or the way of the flesh anymore. I want to go the way of the Spirit. I want to go the way of Jesus. I want to go the way of life. I'm done with anything else. And maybe that's you for the first time. But maybe you've been walking with God for many years, but you've just been in a cloud. And life has just gotten difficult and gray and foggy. And it's because you've sown in this past season, maybe a lot towards the flesh, and you just say, I want to stop. I want to come back to Jesus. I want to come back to prayer. I want to come back to worship. If that's you, heads are bowed all over this place. It's an amazing moment. Eyes are closed. Jesus is here. His Holy Spirit is too. If you're here today and you say, Pastor Joe, that's me, I want to come to Jesus. I want to change my life in its direction. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Would you just lift up your hand all over this place? Hands going up. Amazing, amazing, amazing. Hands going up almost in every section, almost on every row. Jesus loves you so much. He is for you. He has forgiven you. Anybody else? Thank you, Lord. With heads bowed, eyes closed, would you pray this prayer with me? You can just repeat it after me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus and his mercy and his grace. Father, I thank you that just as you have forgiven me, I forgive myself. I receive forgiveness for all of my sins. So help me, forgive me. But also, Father, I ask you to help me to forsake my old life. I've been bought with a price. I receive forgiveness, but I also forsake. I'm done with sowing towards the flesh. Give me the grace to sow towards the Spirit. Father, I thank you. From this moment forward, I know your voice, the voice of a stranger. I will not follow. I thank you, Lord. This is the beginning of the best days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen.